news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
While it may have been lacking in suspense, as both Fox Not News and Decision Desk HQ made this call on election night, but shortly after 11 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night, NBC and CNN both projected that Joe Biden will win the state of Arizona.
Joe Biden will win Arizona. He is the winner of 11 electoral votes in Arizona. Joe Biden wins the state of Arizona, a major projection right now by CNN. Look at the votes, a little over 11,000 margin, 49.4 to 49.1. Joe Biden, again, has won the state of Arizona.
So with Biden's victory in Arizona, with a lead of 11,434 votes, 49.41% to 49.07%, that leaves two states still to be called. In Georgia, Joe Biden is ahead by 14,116 votes. That's 49.52% to 49.24%. So, on Friday morning at 9 a.m., the hand recount audit begins. That's expected to go until Wednesday. In North Carolina, Donald Trump is ahead 71,399 votes. That's 49.91% to 48.62%. So it's clear to virtually everyone that Joe Biden won and is our president-elect. But Donald Trump doesn't know how to concede or lose gracefully, so he's raging. In this case, against CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency that Trump himself established in November of 2018. Well, on Thursday night, CISA contradicted Trump's voter fraud conspiracies, saying unequivocally there is no evidence of any voting system being compromised in the 2020 election. Their statement reads in part, quote, "The November 3rd election was the most secure in American history. Right now, across the country, election officials are reviewing and double-checking the entire election process prior to finalizing the result. When states have close elections, many will recount ballots. All of the states with close results in the 2020 presidential race have paper records of each vote, allowing the ability to go back and count each ballot if necessary. This is an added benefit for security and resilience. This process allows for the identification and correction of any mistakes or errors. There is no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised," end quote. Well, that's pretty definitive. And let me add, a silver lining to this COVID pandemic is that we voted on paper ballots. But back to the subject at hand. In response, or more likely retaliation, more firings. Yeah, this time, Valerie Boyd, the top official for international affairs at the Department of Homeland Security, and Brian Ware, a senior policy aide at CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, were both shown the door. And the warning flag is up around cybersecurity chief Christopher Krebs, who everyone is worried could be fired next. But all the news is not bad. Let's look at some of the good news that came from this election. Americans showed up to vote big time, breaking all voter turnout state and national records, and they're not even done counting yet. So far, 63.9% of Americans eligible to vote cast a ballot in the 2020 election. That's the highest percentage since 1908, when it was a record 65.7% turnout. On the state level, turnout in all but eight is projected to exceed 40-year records, with Minnesota and Wisconsin coming in at close to 80% turnout. Overall, total 2020 turnout is projected to rise to 66.5% once all the votes are tallied. That would be the highest since 1900, when there was a 73.7% turnout among eligible voters. But keep in mind that there was a much smaller pool of eligible voters back in 1900 and 1908, as women, Asian Americans, and some Native Americans could not vote, and other non-white Americans were discouraged from voting through Jim Crow laws and other intimidation tactics. Well, let's come back to 2020 now. It's been well over a week since Election Day and almost as long since now lame duck Donald has spoken publicly. He is rage tweeting prolifically, but is ignoring the public duties of the presidency. The Washington Post noting, quote, on Thursday, six American service members were killed in a helicopter crash during a peacekeeping mission in Egypt. Tropical storm Eta made landfall in North Florida, contributing to severe flooding. The number of Americans infected with the novel coronavirus continued at a record-setting pace, sending the stock market tumbling. At the White House, President Trump spent the day, as he has most others this week, sequestered from public view, tweeting grievances, falsehoods, and misinformation about the election results and about Fox News' coverage of him. Neither he nor his aides briefed reporters on the news of the day or reacted to Democratic leaders who've been accusing Republicans of imperiling the pandemic response by refusing to accept reality over the election results. So Trump may be silent, but the last president is speaking out. Barack Obama's got a new book on the way. A Promised Land hits shelves on Tuesday, and a new 60 Minutes interview will air Sunday night. From this preview, we see that Obama is not shy about calling out the GOP for going along with Trump's madness.
What are these false claims of widespread election fraud doing to our country right now?
They appear to be motivated in part because the president doesn't like to lose and never admits loss. I'm more troubled by the fact that other Republican officials who clearly know better are going along with this, are humoring him in this fashion. It is one more step in delegitimizing not just the incoming Biden administration, but democracy generally. And that's a dangerous path.
And if 2018 was the year of the woman, 2020 is shaping up to be the year of the women of color, as at least 50 women of color will serve in the next Congress, a whopping four of them Republicans. The other big story of the day, also being ignored by Trump and his administration, is, of course, COVID-19. U.S. public health officials reported 164,405 new cases on Thursday, obliterating the previous single-day record set on Wednesday. It was also the first day since the pandemic began where the country has seen more than 150,000 new infections. It was the eighth straight day with more than 100,000 new cases. And hospitalizations for COVID-19 rose to 67,096 patients, also a record, all this according to the COVID Tracking Project. Hospitalizations have doubled over the last 5 weeks, and deaths, which tend to rise shortly after increases in new cases, are already averaging more than 1,000 a day. In a number of states, governments are tightening restrictions on public and private gatherings to curb the spread of the virus, including the city of Chicago, where a new 30-day stay-at-home order begins Friday morning. And as expected, new COVID-19 cases with ties to Donald Trump's orbit continue to climb. On Thursday, three more came to light. Corey Lewandowski, obviously an advisor to Trump, Jeff Miller, a top advisor to House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, and Richard Walters, the chief of staff at the RNC, all tested positive. And go figure, Lewandowski and Miller were both at the election night celebration at the White House. In the 10 days since the event, a few individuals close to the president have tested positive, including White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and Department of Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.